Good evening, everybody. We are in the month of Adar. We are approaching Parshas Pekudei, and we are approaching the holiday of Purim. So this evening, I would like to speak to you about the concept of bringing the Shechina down into this world. That is a concept that is very much found in Parshas Pekudei, and very much a concept in Purim. So here we go. What happens in this week's Parsha? We actually complete the Mishkan. What was the whole point of the Mishkan? To house the Shechina. So Bnei Yisrael build it. Vayar Moshe's call hamalacha. Moshe takes a look. Vnei asur osa kasher tziva Hashem. You know, they did what they were supposed to do as Hashem commanded them. Kein asur vayivarech osa Moshe. And Moshe gave them a bracha. What bracha would Moshe give them once they completed the Shechina? Once they completed the Mishkan, I mean, what? That's it. Ebi knows Baal Peh. Vayivarech osa Moshe says, Rashi, amalem yihi ratzon. It should be the will of Hashem. Shetishre Shechina b'masa yedeichem. You built this beautiful Mishkan. Hashem should dwell amongst the Mishkan that you built. You built a Mishkan for Hashem to dwell in. It should work. Your hard work should pay off, so to speak. And we say, V'yinoam Hashem Elokeinu, right? A very similar idea. Very good, right. So Moshe's prayer, very good. All in Tehillim. This is what we say, Motzei Shabbos, right? That the Shechina, the Ne'imus of Hashem should be in our work. But all of a sudden, we have a fascinating reality. Where you can work really hard, and the Shechina can either dwell in your hard work, or maybe not. So Moshe's prayer was, okay, you built the Mishkan, you set the play, but I daven that the Shechina actually come. All right, now what happened at the end of the Parsha? It's an amazing ending of Sefer Shmos, that Moshe was putting it up and down, you know, the final touches. Vayechas ha'anan es ol moed, a cloud covered the ol moed. Uchvod Hashem malei asem Mishkan, and the glory of God literally filled the Mishkan. Moshe could not enter. The cloud was there. It was too holy. When Hashem's presence was in the Mishkan, Moshe was unable to enter. However, when the cloud would go up, Bnei Yisrael would travel, etc. But beautiful ending to the Sefer, whereby the Torah says the cloud representing the Shechina was in fact on the Mishkan and everyone knew. Love it.
It worked.
Yes, it worked. So those two parts of the parsha that I just referenced are not back-to-back, but yes, it worked. Now, there's an amazing idea. The Chizkuni has a fascinating observation. Because logically, you might have assumed that the second the Shechina was there, it should be go time, so to speak, and Moshe should be able to enter the Mishkan and start doing Mishkan stuff. But actually argues the Chizkuni, the second the Mishkan was complete and the Shechina dwelled there, Moshe could not enter. You know why? You know what Hashem wanted to show everybody? That I'm here. There was a moment where Moshe was unable to enter just to highlight Laharot Chibaso Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Yisrael. There was a moment there of just a sign of love. Hashem said, right now, this is not about Moshe Rabbeinu. This is about me being here for you, the Jewish people. And there was a moment there where the Shechina was there, so much so that Moshe could not even enter. Just to highlight the fact that the Shechina had arrived in honor of the Jewish people and to show the love Hashem has for us. In a similar vein, the Netziv argues, what does it mean in that very beginning the cloud was there? At that moment, Haya Yisroon Gam Ba'ofen Kisoy Ha'anan. The cloud covered the Mishkan differently in that original moment. Usually the cloud, argues the Netziv, was above the Mishkan. But at that very moment, where was the cloud? Shachin Olav Mamish. It was literally on the Mishkan. The Alkein Ayaparus Gam Ala Pesach. It was even covering the opening of the Mishkan. Wow. That's why the Mishkan needed to have the Shechina depart from it a little bit before Moshe could enter. So what we see from the Chizkuni and the Netziv was that there was this immense climax where the Shechina literally showed up. It wasn't about Moshe. It was about Klal Yisrael. And we were able to recognize, like, he's here. He's here. It happens. Unbelievable. Now, this is the whole point of Sefer Shmos, argues the Ramban. Now, the Ramban has a beautiful poem, by the way, at the end of his commentary to Sefer Shmos. Then we'll point out the Hakdama, the introduction of the Ramban to Sefer Shmos. Beautiful little poem. V'nei nishlam Sefer Gula Asher Hashem Elokei Yisrael ba'bo. So now the Sefer that Hashem arrived, he appeared to Bnei Yisrael, Lebnei Yisrael am krovo. Hoshio miad son o. He saved us from our enemies. V'ga'alo miad oivo. He saved us. V'elav yavo ba'alfei shnoyin v'rechav ribo. And, you know, he appeared to us with all of his myriads of angels to give us the Torah. Again, it all rhymes. It's beautiful. We built the Mishkan Lishkon Shchinato Al Krovo U'Mikdash L'Mikdash Shehamelech B'Misibo. So it's an amazing idea where the Ramban basically celebrates the end of the Sefer, and you almost get the impression it's like Chasan Torah, Chasan Bereshis, like singing on Simchas Torah, and the Ramban's like all fired up with this beautiful poem at the end of the Sefer Shemoos, highlighting that the Shekhinah had arrived. Like that was the whole point of the Sefer. In fact, that was the whole point of the Sefer. Because the Ramban in his Hakdama writes that after we have Sefer Bereshis, which is all about Hashem's creation of the world, now we have the second Sefer, Sefer HaGi'ulah. And argues the Ramban, where does Geula happen? Well, when does the Golus end? Does the Golus, I would have guessed what? Golus ends where? Where does Golus end in the story? When we what? Leave Egypt? Enter Israel? Neither of those, by the way, represent the end of Sefer Shmos. We left Egypt in the beginning, and we didn't get into Eretz Israel by the end. So argues the Ramban, we have to return El Mekomam, that seemingly would be the place known as Israel, Ve'al ma'alat avotam yashuvu. We have to get back to the madrega of our avos. There it is. AB nails it, as always. When we left Mitzrayim, even though we had left Egypt, we were still considered golim. Because we were not anywhere. We were in the desert. Yeah, and how does the Sefer end? We were still in the desert. When we got to Har Sinai, and we built the Mishkan, and Hashem gave us a Shechina. Now we're back. Ah, that's Geula. When we got back to the status of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Heim, heim ha-merkava. What? What's a merkava? A chariot. A chariot for what? The Shechina. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they brought the Shechina down into this world. Do you know what it means to experience Geula? It means to bring the Shechina down into this world. When you could somehow see Hashem in your life or bring Hashem into other people's lives, you have experienced the Geula, which is pretty unbelievable. And what we're going to do now is explain that on a halachic level, the Shechina comes up quite a few times. And in the Purim story, we're actually going to see the entire tension, potentially, of the issue in the days of Mordechai and Esther was whether or not the Shechina was with them. Like, is he here or is he not? And everyone explains that Purim is all about finding Hashem in the hidden. Megillat Esther, uncovering what is hidden, right? That's the whole concept of Purim. So we're going to do it in a little bit, you know, we'll say overview of halacha. We're not going to just have a classic Purim shir, but let's start with the Rambam in Hilchos Klei Mikdash. I searched, where does the word Shechina come up in the Rambam's writing? And here's one of the examples. Asu b'bayit sheni urim v'tumim. So, you know, the Kohen Gadol had his clothing. He had to get to eight, so they had to build urim v'tumim. But they didn't ask the urim v'tumim any questions in the second base of Midrash. You know why? Take a guess. It didn't work. Why? The batteries were out. Why were the batteries out? What were the batteries for urim v'tumim?
Lights didn't light up.
Why did they not light up? What were the batteries to make those things light up? Shechina, that's it. There were no Shechina. You know, it says the Rambam, they didn't ask the Urim V'Tumim, Shalois Hashem Ruach HaKodesh. V'chol Kohen She'enu Medaber Ruach HaKodesh V'en Shechina Shor Alav Einu Shalabo. You can't consult the Urim V'Tumim unless there's Shechina there or there's Ruach HaKodesh there. Whoa. So imagine that, living in the times of Baal Sheni, where you see a Kohen Gadol, he looks pretty legit, you know, not like the Amazing Saving Sperm costume version, right? Shout out to that. That's a great custom. But I didn't know a Mandelstam in 2020. But ultimately, we were all watching a Beis Hamikdash, which on the outside looked unbelievable, but where was the depth? Where was the depth? And in contrast, you might say this evening, we're in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Where's the Shechina? But guess what? What are you supposed to do when you daven? Hamispalel, this evening at Marav. Sarach Sheikavim Beliba, Perish Amilos. Have a kavanah what the words mean. V'yachshov and think ki'ilu Shechina kenegdo. And you should think as if the Shechina is right in front of you. So again, the Kohen Gadol in Yerushalayim, in the second base of Midrash, the Shechina was not there. Shomrei Torah this evening's Marv. At least we're supposed to imagine that the Shechina is in the room. Yeah, what are you trying to prove by quoting that, my friend?
Every whenever you say Hashem's name, God comes.
Yeah, so very good. So Adam, what are you basically pointing out there? And what am I getting to here? That what? That on one level, the Shekhinah.
That's not the Shekhinah.
Well, the different levels. I think what you're pointing out is the different levels of Shekhinah. That's what I thought you were going with. The different levels of Shekhinah.
Okay,
So I'm just pointing out the fascinating irony that in the second Beis Hamikdash, no Shekhinah. Urim v'Tumim out of batteries. This evening in Shomer Torah, we're davening with the Shekhinah in front of us. And there's a wild gra. I feel badly for people who don't know this gra. It's like, you know, they miss. You never know this gra. I hope. Spread this gra to everyone you know. Why do I know this gra? Because the great Rav Ephraim Waxman was invited to speak in the Young Israel of Fairlawn. I don't know, a few years ago. And I knew the Perush of the Gura on the Megillah was very famous, but I never knew that the Sefer Yosef Lekach was the Torah of the Gura on the Megillah. And the Gura has the, or Yosef Lekach, quoting the Gura, says that Mordechai and his Beis Din never thought a Jew could smile again because they had all experienced the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So you know why they wanted to drink? Why did Mordechai and his Beis Din decide, let's get drunk? On Purim.
Bury your sorrow.
And not remember what? Acharei shelo yizru et chorban abayis. Acharei rosem hayad hagdola v'ashkacha hamufleges l'makom aleinu. Wait a minute. So it's not depressing. It's actually very uplifting. There's a concept that they thought the Shekhinah could never return to them. They had seen the Beis HaMikdash be stripped from them and then literally be kicked out of their land. But what do they realize after Purim? What do they realize? Hashem was still with them. It's a very controversial line to say, but they don't need the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, we could have Hashem without the Beis HaMikdash. And the idea there argues the Gra, we can forget our suffering of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash because we're so happy. You're not supposed to be so happy. How can we be so happy about that Beis HaMikdash? But what's the answer? We could be so happy because we understand that what? We still have Hashem. We still have Hashem. Now, they don't want to say it black on white that we don't want to, you know, we don't need to remember the Beis HaMikdash. We're allowed to forget, at least for a little bit, the Chorban. They didn't want to say it black on white. But once they saw, Acharei Hodio Hashem Otanu Shebioso Be'eretz Oyveinu, even in Shushan, Lo Azvanu. He didn't forsake us. We should be so happy. We have no reason to worry anymore. We can drink this evening at the Purim Seuda, this afternoon rather, being that we are so confident that Hashem is really here. Unbelievable idea of the Gra. But here it goes to that tension again, like we're worried, like is the Shekhinah here, is it not? And you could argue the whole apex of Purim is to achieve that recognition that the Shekhinah is in fact with us. Wow. Okay, now Esther herself experienced this. What happened with Esther? She was going to visit Ahasuerus. She stood at the courtyard of the inner house of the king. Amar Bilevi, Kevin Shigila, Beis Atzlamim. Uh-oh, she got to an Avodah Zarah place in the palace. Nistalka Hemena Shechina. So guess what left her? The Shechina, because it's a place of Avodah Zarah. And she said, Kaylee, Kaylee, my God, Lama Azavtani, why have you forsaken me? Namely what? What was Esther saying? Hashem, I need you right now. You can't leave me. You can't leave me. And she maybe said, you think I'm in trouble because, you know, maybe I was not respectful to the king, or I called Haman a dog, I called Achashverosh a dog. Well, you know, maybe I did something improper. You know what? Says Rabbi Yochanan, at that moment, three malachim came to help her. One of them picked up her neck. One of them gave her a special appearance to have a chut shel chesed. I guess she would find favor in the king's eyes. And one extended the king's scepter towards her. Wow. So, I mean, the Shekhinah came back, so to speak, right? But there it is, Esther saying, oh, no. I need you right now. Hashem.
Malachi Asheris means God himself wouldn't do it because of Avodah Zarah's deputy sent to
Malachi. Yeah, but I would call that the return of the Shekhinah to some degree. Meaning the point being, that Esther got the Shekhinah. Yeah, meaning Esther, again, was going through that massive internal struggle. Is the Shekhinah here or not? I don't feel it anymore. And Hashem responds. And the answer is, no, I'm here, Esther, I'm here. Now, let's try now to bridge the gap between our everyday halacha and Purim, because we'll see that the Shechina comes up all the time. And what I'm going to try to do right now is explain with a little bit of an overview that there are many halachos where the halacha recognizes the Shechina. The presence of the Shechina is a halachic concept. Here we go. So, Gemar Megill, Yud Beis Amin Aleph, Shalmal Tamid Ves Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei Man Yischai V'Sonin Shal Yisrael Ba'osa Ador Kliya. Why did the Jews in the Purim story deserve to be destroyed? What did he respond to them? Mipnei Shenanu Misudasa Shal Osa Rasha. They were not supposed to go to the party, that massive, feast of Achashverosh, and they went anyway. That, by the way, is not the source for a halacha, but it reminds me of a halacha. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that when you eat, the Shechina has the ability to be there. If you what? Bring Torah to your Seuda. Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan Omer, Shnayim Sheyoshvin. If two people sit, Ve'en Beinayim Divrei Torah, so that's not appropriate. Aval Shnayim Sheyoshvin, two people are sitting, Ve'yesh Beinayim Divrei Torah, Shechina Shruya Beinayim. Says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, if two people sit down for a slice of pizza, you go to a place and you know you talk Torah, you have brought the Shechina into your table. Your Shabbos table should have some Shechina. Your dinner table, whatever, but that's a great example of to contrast. We don't eat like an Achashverosh party. Even dinner is an opportunity to what? To bring the Shechina into this world, but specifically when there's Torah. So, I would argue that that's like the obvious one. When does the Shechina come into our lives? You speak Torah, you bring the Shechina into this world. So when two Jews are talking Torah, that brings the Shechina into this world. That's example number one. Let's do example, we'll elaborate. There's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. I'm going to just skip the Rambam and go back to it. There's a Gemara in Brachos, Samad Alam and Aleph. You see why it's directly related to what I just said. If you go to a meal where a Talmud Chacham is partaking, ki'ilu nana miziv hashchina, by enjoying a good meal with the presence of a Talmud Chacham, you have experienced the Shechina. Because what does the Torah say in Parshas Yisro? Aaron, all the Zekanim, they all ate bread with Chose and Moshe in front of God. Where was God? Well, Moshe was there. So that teaches you that if you're a nan, if you benefit from a Seuda, that a Talmud Chacham is there, kilu nana miziv hashchina. It's an unbelievable idea. So the Gemara Brachos is telling you that, again, your meals can have the Shechina there. I don't know how many of you have ever had an experience of eating with a holy person before. And by the time the meal is over, you're just like, wow. I feel like that was a special experience. I don't know. Baruch, I've been so going to be at the Shabbos table of Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, of Schechter, or Mordechai Willig, Purim Suda with Rameir Tursky. But I'll tell you, Rav Simcha Wasserman, who here has ever seen Rav Simcha Wasserman? Anyone ever seen him last night? Anyone seen him? Rav Chanan Son, right? And yeah,
I took care of him, his wife.
He was your patient.
Yeah.
He was your literal patient. He was your patient. He went to your office.
Actually,
in the hospital. So if I'm not mistaken, Rav Simcha Wasserman spent Shabbos by the Chavetz Chaim. Whoa. And I never was by the Chavetz Chaim's house. But the way that he described that one Shabbos meal with the Chavetz Chaim, I feel like I was there. Because he has a story where he asked the Chavetz Chaim, Rebbe, if someone had the man and didn't think of anything, what did the man taste like? And the Chavetz Chaim said, it tastes like nothing. But Rav Simcha Wasserman was so inspired. He was so inspired by just having a meal with the Chavetz Chaim. I feel like I was there, just by his description of it. You ate a meal with Rav David Lipschitz. And it made an impression on you. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I give him a shout out. This person has no idea how much I love him. But there's a rabbi in Yerushalayim. I don't know if he's still living near the Mir in the community known as Ramat Eshkol, but I went to a meal once with Rabbi Dov Stark. The whole meal was Torah. The whole and awesome food. I was like, I left that meal saying like, I love this place. I love this place. So again, Rabbi Dov Stark, if you're listening, thank you for the Daily Roll. Thank you for the Torah. Hopefully we'll reunite. But again, if you have a real Talmud Chacham at a meal, it's unbelievable. All right, so Torah can do it, and the presence of a Talmud Chacham can do it. Beautiful. Okay, now, similarly, Torah obviously brings the Shechina. Where does the Rambam bring the word Shechina in his halacha? A based in Shehu Hagun. The Shechina is among them. If you're sitting on a basin, do you know that the Shekhinah is with you? You better take your job seriously. Because the Shekhinah is with you. You don't joke around and blow bubbles with your bubble gum when you're on the basin. Because the Shekhinah is there. There's a certain ema, awe, a serious focus when you're with the Shekhinah. So if you're on a basin, that applies today. Okay. So that's another example. So let's say Torah is broad category number one. Here we go. There's another Gemara, and I think this is a major piece for the evening, because we'll see the contrast. Meseches Chagiga Tzayin Amud Aleph, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Kol Over Aveir B'Seiser. Anyone who does an Aveir in private, Kilu Dochek Ragle Shechina. It's as if you have pushed away the Shechina. What's the pshat? Says Rashi over there. Because by doing an Aveira in privacy, what are you basically demonstrating? You're saying that what? The Shekhinah is not here. And what's the Gemara saying back to you? It is here. You think the Shekhinah is not there, but it is there. Right? That's like the whole Purim story, summed up in a Gemara that has nothing to do with Purim. That you think the Shekhinah is not there. Therefore, you could quote-unquote get away with an Aveira in private. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, how dare you assume the Shekhinah is not in your room? It's the opposite. The opposite is true. And when we... Let's just play out this Gemara. When we don't sin in private, what are we acknowledging? We're acknowledging, right? Shivi is Hashem l'negdi tamid. The Shekhinah is with me always. And I always have to live life as if the Shekhinah is right by me. That's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, right? Meaning, you have to live life knowing that Hashem is with you. You have to. You have to. What are you? Hashem's not watching. Hashem's watching. He's everywhere. Is he really everywhere? So where do we face when we daven? Yerushalayim. Why? Where's Hashem? Is he not like everywhere? Believe it or not, in Maseches Yevamos, there's a wild Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, rather, Chavayim and Aleph, go back tomorrow after Yevamos. Remind me, Adam, is you're in charge. Don't say Yevamos, okay? So the Gemara in Baba Basra, Chavayim and Aleph, says, Ravoshia Savar, the Shekhinah is B'chol Makom. And halachically, you know why they said that? That means you could face which direction when you daven. Any direction. Why? Because the Shekhinah is where? Anywhere. And they bring Pesukim and Nehemiah. That's of Oshia's Pshat. And he says, you know, when a regular person sends a messenger, the messenger has to report back to where he came from, right? If I send you as a messenger, you have to come back to me. But what about Hashem? Shluchacha lamakom shemishtachim misham machzirin shlichusan. They don't need to go back. Hashem is everywhere. Ah, Rav Shmuel also. Shekhinah b'chol makom. Rav Sheshi says, Shekhinah b'chol makom. Now, Tosa says over there, this is against the Gemara Bachos that says that you need a daven facing Yerushalayim. So all of these Amoraim that just said that the Shekhinah is everywhere are up against the Gemara in Brachos, which says that you have to daven because Hashem's Shekhinah is in Yerushalayim. Now, I want to argue that no one would really disagree that the Shekhinah is everywhere on one level, right? So you get a little halachic over here and say, when it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, there's a location for the Shekhinah. When it comes to Hilchos Averos, we don't say that what? It's okay to do an Aveira in Fairlawn because the Shekhinah is only in Yerushalayim, obviously, right? So again, a little quote-unquote brisker Torah, you have to say that they're different halachos where the Shekhinah manifests differently. Right? When it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, we're going to paskin, face Yerushalayim, because that's where the Shekhinah is. Okay, but what if you're based in New Jersey? Is the Shekhinah with you? I would say so, yeah, of course. What, no? No, of course, right? When you have a minion, is the Shekhinah with you? I mean, obviously, the Shekhinah is capable of dwelling wherever the halacha allows it to dwell, right? But when it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, there's a concept of the Shekhinah apparently being more limited to Yerushalayim. That's a fascinating idea. Okay, so there's another Gemara Megillah, which says explicitly, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Bo Urei Kama Chavivin Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you know how much Hashem loves us? Shebechol makom shegalu, every place where Hashem exiled us, guess what happened? Galu shechina imayim. The shechina came into exile with us. Mitzrayim, Bavel, the shechina always came with us whenever we were exiled. Wild. And when we were v'af kishen asidim ligoil, when we will be redeemed in the future, the shechina will come out of galus with us. So, amazing reality. On one level, the Gemara says, when you daven in Baba Basra, you got to face Yisrael, you got to face Israel, Yerushalayim. That's where the Shekhinah is. There's another Gemara Megillah that says the Shekhinah always came with us into the exile, right? So you have to say there are different elements of the Shekhinah in halacha. Okay, we're going to get a little sensitive now. I'm not on social media at all. I don't even know the language enough. But sometimes I'll joke around about it, and I don't even realize what I'm saying, and people take me more seriously than I should. That being said, there is a Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra that will enter the Shekhinah into quote-unquote intimacy. What is the halacha? You're not allowed to open up your chatzar, a window, opposite your neighbor, right? It's a halacha on the books, right? When you build your house, so you can't have a window opposite the other person's window because you're going to see into the bedroom, whatever, it's a whole halacha. Asking, well, how do we know this? From Bilam. Bilam lifted his eyes. He saw the Jewish people, everyone arranged in their own shvatim, and he saw that this person's door of the tent was not facing the other person's door so that they could not see into each other's tents. And he said, Ru'uyin halalu shetishre aleihem shekhinah. These people deserve the shekhinah. Unbelievable. These people who are careful about tznius. Similar Gemara. You know what mitzvah you get the shekhinah? Tzitzis. It's actually in the Shulchan Aruch that if you are careful in tzitzis, you see the shekhinah. Now, what does Gemara Sota say? I'm all going to connect it together. A man and wife who have peace in the home, the shekhinah is there. Now, tzitzis is all about, we'll say, purity. If you look at the tzitzis, you remember not to do certain things. You remember to stay in the right places, right? And the home is a man and wife, right, are supposed to be, acting in a certain way. And that's where the shekhinah dwells. Recently, the idea is that there was a strike called. A strike. Women were asked to not go to the mikveh to convince a rasha to write a get for his wife. Rav Shechter wrote a response because a certain very influential social media figure said, women should not go to the mikveh to make a point. A little strike. Rav Shechter's like, that is not a good idea for many reasons. It might be usher, and it will lead chas v'sham to worse averos, because let's say you don't go to the mikveh and you still are together. That is yikes. Without elaborating. Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva, this is not a good idea. I don't like it. You know why? Because do you know how much kedusha is in the Jewish bedroom? We don't talk about this stuff. It's holy. The Gemara in Maseches Sota just said that when a man and woman are living appropriately, where they're in the right places, they're not, sleeping around with other people, the Shekhinah is there. The Shekhinah is there. You're not supposed to sleep around. And the Gemara in Sota says that before Bnei Israel committed adultery in the Midbar, the Shekhinah was with us, and after they slept around the wrong way, the Shekhinah left. The purity of a Jewish marriage, of intimacy, is a place of Shekhinah. You don't just go around using that as a weapon. It's too sacred. It's too sacred. Imagine saying, all the rabbis should take the Sefer Torah out of shul. Let's go steal a Sefer Torah until this man writes his get. You don't mess with a Sefer Torah. I'm saying it's too holy. You don't dabble with the Shekhinah. That was my personal issue. Rav Shechter had halachic issues with it. I'm just saying, I'll be Musar, to tell a man and wife not to live together is to deprive them of the Shekhinah. It's not like a physical thing. It's spiritual. That's where the Shekhinah lives. All right, more there, but let's not go over there.
Why don't they just break his knees?
Yeah, so AB...
everybody would agree is okay.
Yeah, halachically, there is more of a hitman approach in the classical writings. This is not the classical writing. Whatever. So now the commissioner is telling me that he used to know dangerous people because he knows that I said no to being a coach. So I'm feeling threatened like a beast right now, actually. Howie's like, man, listen, let me just tell you, if you don't agree to being a coach in my league, the go-getters are after you. All right, I'm gonna go now. All right, I'm gonna go get a car. All right, Howie, you knew someone in the go-getters, actually? They would beat people up to give a get? And they ever get arrested for that?
They got a get.
Did it work?
Do you still know the go-getter?
The only guy I knew died.
He died? Yeah. Suddenly?
Not
so, right, like his body was found in the river. Okay, interesting. Yes. All right. I would argue that.
Prosecute someone in Jersey. This was 30 years ago in Chicago.
Yeah, no, wild, the Windy City.
That might have been active. That might have been a couple years after.
Okay, here's where I'm going to get to the punchline of this year.
Yivamos.
There, the AB did his homework. Here's the punchline of this year. You know how you bring the Shekhinah into this world? When you're not thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about other people. Do you know what the Gemara Yivamos says? Do you know who brings the Shekhinah into this world? So not only if you're careful with tzitzis and shalom bayis and you're not committing adultery, rechmer l'slan, and not only if you're learning Torah or davening, but if you have children. If you have children. Someone who does not engage in peru revu, the Gemara says, in Maseches Yevamos HaMadal and Aleph, you have caused the Shekhinah to leave the Jewish people. And B'derech Jewish, I want to say, when you have children, you know that life's not about you. Having children means that you're passing on the Masorah, and it's not about you. Similarly, the Gemara in Berachos Memgimel Rebeis says, don't walk with an up straight posture. Because if you walk up straight, you're pushing the Shekhinah away. What in the world does that mean? I know with my shoulder issues, if my posture is not straight, my shoulder will start hurting. I actually work on my posture significantly. It's not talking about your physical posture 100%. Says the Marsha over there in Brachos, Memgilim Rebeis, you're supposed to be the chariot for the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is above you. What do you represent when you stand all the way up straight? You're not letting the Shekhinah go on you. By bending down, hunching over just a little bit, you're saying the Shekhinah is above you and you're carrying it on your shoulders to just some degree, a little degree. Again, B'derech Drush, the Marsha is saying, I don't think the Gemara is so literally. The idea is, are you letting the Shekhinah go on you or not? Or are you only thinking about yourself? Can you hunch over just a little bit? Can you allow the Shekhinah to enter this world? If you're so preoccupied by thinking about yourself with your quote-unquote up straight posture, you're not allowing the Shekhinah to come here. Purim is all about thinking about other people. What's Matanos Lavionim? You're bringing the Shekhinah into this world. Get that check. Get it out there. You think about someone, you get them out there. What was the highlight of my Purim last year? I went to someone's house. His last name is Bowski. Just turned 99. He was sleeping in his chair. I went up to him and I said, Afreilich on Purim, Mr. Bowski. He looked at me. He woke up. He said, Afreilich on Purim. I don't know if I've ever did a holier thing in my life. You watch the way Rabbi Binyamin Yudin brings the Shekhinah into this world. Chevy Yudin brings the Shekhinah into this world. They do stuff like that. They find the people that are quote-unquote not yet from in this town. And they bring a lot of Shekhinah down into this world. That's Mishloach Manos. Matanos Avyonim. A Su'uda. You include someone. Every time you think of someone that's not you, you're bringing the Shekhinah into this world. And that's a Rambam. The Rambam says that in Hilchos Avelus, when you escort the dead body, that's the highest praise, because what did Avram teach us? He would feed the travelers. He would give them drink. He would escort them. V'gedola hachnasas orchim me'akpalas p'nei ha'shechina. We know that having guests is even greater than hosting the Shekhinah. Do you know what Hashem says? Bend over a little bit to make room for me in your life. And what? Be a little bit more flexible to let other people into your life. Host people. Host people. Host people. Host people. And that's how you understand God. In the next world, you're going to understand God. And on Purim, we try a little bit to understand Hashem. What's the idea of reading the Megillah? Again, Pirsum Hanes. How do we explain Pirsum Hanes? In the Megillah, we read it as Igeres, and we say the Psukim of Geula out loud. The Shulchan Aruch records, we read it like an Igeret, Laharos Hanes. Right? We specifically unfold the story to play up the miracle. And you know, now again, when we are Mefarsim Neis, we just highlight Hashem. We just highlight Hashem. It's less about us, more about Hashem. Do you know where the word Shekhinah comes up in Shulchan Aruch? When you say the following things, you get the Shekhinah. At the end of Shemar Esrei, we say, Aseh Laman Shemecha, Aseh Laman Yeminecha, Aseh Laman Kedushasecha, Aseh Laman Tarasecha. At the end of Shemar Esrei, Hashem, just act for your sake. What does it mean, Hashem, just act for your... Don't do it for me, Hashem. I'm taking myself out of the equation. Says the Gemara, says the Shulchan Aruch, rather, you get the Shekhinah when you take yourself out of the equation. So give everyone a bracha that throughout now in Purim, you should just find more and more of Hashem in your life. Bring the Shekhinah into this world by thinking much more about Hashem and other people. The less we think about ourselves, the more we quote-unquote slouch a little bit for other people, the more the Shekhinah is in this world. We should all be zocha to bring the Shekhinah into this world as much as possible, and not only have to face East, but face Yerushalayim Mamsh.